We are just about 2 weeks away from the greatest day in history. Now, some of you might be thinking, I'm talking about Easter. And while that is the greatest day, one of the greatest days, one of the other greatest days of the year, is the day after Easter today, this year, and that's April Fool's Day. I think it's a good time, a good fun time to have little pranks like that day, which hopefully the pranks are for fun and entertainment. But April Fool's Day has been around for hundreds of years. I kind of looked this up here this last week to kind of see what the origin. I've been looking a lot about origins, where things came from and whatnot in these last several sermons. And April Fool's Day actually was written about, supposedly, in the Canterbury Tales written by Chaucer, back in 1392. That's a long time ago, right? You've heard about being April Fool's. But actually, as I was researching this online, what April Fool's Day might have originated, how it might come from, there was one theory, and I'm not sure if I give too much credence to this theory, but there's one theory that thinks that April 1st was the day that Noah let the bird out of the ark at the end of the flood. And he was foolish to do this because there was still water on the ground, and so the bird just flew around and did not find any place to land. And so some people think, hey, this was the origin of April Fool's Day because he was a fool. He did a foolish thing by trying to rush God, trying to do a foolish thing by trying to get out of the ark type of thing. And so he sent this bird out on a foolish errand. And so, again, I'm not sure if that's true or not. We don't have no way of finding that out or whatnot, that it was actually on April Fool's Day. But April Fool's Day has a lot of history, and there's been a number of April Fool's Day's pranks down the that we've had over the years. I, again, did a list of April Fool's Day pranks, and there was too many to really to narrow down. I thought, oh, there's all kinds of different pranks where people, nighttime shows, switched their host. Jay Leno and someone else switched their jobs and with Jimmy Fallon or something like that. Other kind of jokes down through the years. I couldn't just pick one or two of them out there, so I just going to use your imaginations. You probably know of an April Fool's joke that you've heard of, some harmless fun that maybe you've done or helped out with, some harmless prank like switching the salt in the salt shaker to sugar or vice versa, so that way when someone dumps it or something like that, or like this, the nut-filled can with a springy snake, all kinds of different harmless pranks. And hopefully they are harmless. There have been some pranks that have gone too far and people have been harmed through the years. Hopefully that's not the case. But there are, like I told the children this morning, there's a big difference in the Bible between those who are fooled by April Fool's jokes and kind of pranks and being actually a fool in their life. We've been talking about the book of Proverbs and kind of the proverbial wisdom that we can get from Proverbs, and we've been studying different topics about it, but we started last week talking about the word pride and how bad pride is. Well, in many cases, but there are some good pride as well. Well, this week we're going to talk about being a fool, because the word in the Proverbs, fool, is used many times. In fact, I didn't realize how many times the word foolish or fool or fools, plural, is used in the Bible and in just the book of Proverbs until I looked it up this last week and did my Bible searches and whatnot. I found this. This is some just kind of your thing. In the NIV, using the NIV translation, different translations translates fool in different ways. The word fool is used 45 times in just 43 verses. 45 times the word fool. The plural, fools, is used 16 times in 16 verses. The idea of folly, or fool, me and folly, is 22 times in 21 verses. The word foolish, 9 times. So a total of 92 times in 89 verses, the idea of fools or foolish or foolishness or folly or that type of thing. And that doesn't include things like mockers or simpletons or other words that kind of have similar meanings that would add to the total. So I had my task for this week kind of easy in a way, because all I would have to do is read all those 89 verses and ta-da, I'd be done with my 30-minute sermon or whatnot. But in a way it's hard, because I had to kind of divide these up and kind of group them together and kind of figure out, okay, now how am I going to relate these and kind of group them together, because how should I organize this? I could just read all those Proverbs out there and they'd be great, but I'm going to focus on three questions this morning to kind of help us understand what fools are in the Bible. And these are the three questions we're going to look at this morning. First of all, what qualities render one foolish? What makes a fool a fool in the Bible? And then we're going to look at what are some of the fruits of the folly, some of the aspects or some of the things that will result in being foolish. And then also, finally, what are some ways one might avoid folly or being foolish, right? How can we prevent ourselves from being foolish? So we're going to look at these three questions this morning from the book of Proverbs and see what the answers are for them. So let's first look at the qualities that render one foolish. Now, again, as I was looking at the book of Proverbs here this last week, first what I did, and then what I noticed about Proverbs is just like last week when we had all kinds of different Hebrew words that mean pride or proud or boastful, the same thing is for fools. There are several different Hebrew words, three primary Hebrew words, that talk about being foolish or being a fool or being that type of thing, having folly or foolishness. And so I looked them up and normally when I talk about Hebrew words, I usually don't give them to you because, you know, they're kind of Hebrew words and no one knows them and whatnot because they're weird and easily forgotten. But actually this morning I'm going to tell you because a couple of these might seem familiar. They're very interesting words. So the first word for Hebrew that's translated foolish or fool is Nabal. Nabal, okay? And I didn't put it up on the screen here. But that word Nabal might sound familiar to some of those that have read through the Bible here lately. It's actually a man's name in the Bible. Nabal was a guy's name. And it's from 1 Samuel chapter 25, where King David, before he became king, was running away from Saul, is on the loose and kind of running around the territory there. And he comes to a farmer named Nabal who's shearing a sheep. And he helps protect them a little bit and keeps them from harm. And Nabal is shearing his sheep, and so they have a kind of a feast. And so he asks Nabal, hey, can I come have your feast with you? Can my men and I join you? And Nabal foolishly says, no, I'm not going to. Who are you? You're nobody. And David says, but I've helped protect you. I've helped kept you from harm. None of your sheep have been lost. None of my guys have stolen anything from you. You know, and Nabal foolishly says, no. And his wife, a woman named Abigail, hears about this and intercedes on Nabal's behalf, and she says this in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 25. Now may my lord David pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He just is like his name. His name is fool, and folly goes with him. So she calls her husband a fool because he was foolish. He did this foolishly, and so that eases David's tensions, and he doesn't decide to kill all the people, and he kind of tells Abigail, hey, if you wouldn't have come, I would have probably, out of revenge, kind of killed all your family, but I'm going to hold off, and I've realized that Nabal, which means fool, was indeed a fool. So there you go, Nabal, the name of a guy. We learn a few verses later that Nabal dies, and David is fascinated with his wife Abigail, and so he takes Abigail as his wife. So that's one of David's wives, Abigail. I think it's his second wife. But Nabal means fool, and it's the same thing in the book of Proverbs. Now, the word Nabal in Proverbs is only used three or four times. But it kind of links several different words of fool together. The first place where it's called Nabal is in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21. And this is kind of a verse that we'll see many times in this about a son and his father. It says there in 17:21, to have a fool for a son brings grief. There is no joy for the father of a Nabal, a fool. There's no joy for a father of a Nabal, a fool. So it's kind of, in a way, kind of a negative term, by this time. This is after King David was before Solomon, of course, and Solomon wrote this. And so one of the qualities of a fool is one who brings grief or brings a lack of joy to a father. They're a disappointment to them. They're almost an insult, the name. You know, they're a Nabal. You don't want to be called a Nabal. That's a fool, kind of an insult. And we'll see why here in a minute. But interesting enough, there is someone else in the Bible that is called a Nabal, and it's actually Job's wife. Job, in the book of Job, calls his wife a Nabal. He says in chapter 2, verse 10, she wanted to curse God and, you know, curse God because of bad things happening to Job. And he tells her, you are talking like a foolish woman. You're talking like a Nabal. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And of course, in this, it says that Job did not sin. So Nabal is a very interesting word here, but there's another place where this word shows up that's in a famous quote that we almost say it's almost kind of a proverb that we say sometimes, but it's said a couple times in Psalms, kind of repeats itself. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in their heart," the Nabal says in his heart, "there's no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good." So this fool says in his heart, hey, there's no God. So that's kind of one aspect of what characterizes or what qualities fools have in the Bible. This Nabal, it's a fool. Someone that denies who God is, who has turned away from God, who doesn't want anything to do with God. And as we said already, this brings shame, of course, to the parents, which ties us in with the second word for fool that comes in Hebrew, and that's the word kasil. Kasil is a unique word, and it's unique in this way only. You probably won't have heard of kasil, and that's fine, but it's only used in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Ecclesiastes, both of which were written by Solomon. Very interesting. It's not used elsewhere. It's only used actually in three other psalms, so Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, but those three psalms seem to be a later psalm. They weren't written by David. They're written, one of them has the label at the top that tells us who it's done by the sons of Korah, which was later on in the history of Israel. But these could have been written by Solomon as well. So this word, kasal, seems like a Solomonic word. Solomon uses this word fool a lot. And he uses it a lot in the book of Proverbs. 49 times kasal is used, or kasal is used. And it means to be foolish, or it expands on this quality that renders one foolish. We see this word that I read this in passing last week, Proverbs 10:1, where it uses kasal. It says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a kasal, foolish son, grief to his mother." Again, the idea that those who are his parents, these foolish kids, are kasals, are foolish, and it brings foolishness. We see this kind of repeated in chapter 15, verse 20, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother." Okay, a kasal despises his mother, not just brings grief, but kind of doesn't remember what his mother tells him, doesn't recall that, doesn't put that into his life, doesn't listen to the lessons as his parents learn. And so we see these in this Proverbs as well. Again, Proverbs 17:25, same kind of idea. "A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him." So brings both to the mother and the father. Very similar idea to the first two. But why? Why does it bring grief and shame to a fool's parents? I think it points back to what we've already talked about already from Psalms and Proverbs, that a fool is someone that doesn't follow God, doesn't fear God. A fool finds pleasure in being evil and doing evil things. This is seen in Proverbs 10:23. "A fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom." So all these Proverbs have the word kasal in them, kasil in them. And so it's very interesting what this idea means. But there's actually a third word that's translated fool. And this one you might be able to remember a little easier because it's eval. Kind of sounds like evil. Eval. It's a very similar word. Again, the etymology of evil is not related back to the Hebrew word eval, but it's kind of that same pronunciation, evil. That a fool is evil. Again, it sounds like our English word, and I kind of like that connection there because sometimes what evals do is evil. I like that coincidence that there are actually two forms of this word. Actually, there's two forms of this word in Proverbs, and it's used over 65 times. Eval is used 65 times, and it's the most common word for fool in the book. And it's kind of used almost interchangeably with the first two. But let's look at some of the qualities of an eval. "The wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless." Reckless, I like that as well. Proverbs 1, right at the beginning, 1 verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." We see that many times in the book of Proverbs. "But the fool despises wisdom and discipline." Okay, that's why that's one of the characteristics of a fool, despising wisdom. Don't want to learn, don't want to listen, don't want to get the lessons from your parents and do the things. They do evil things, eval. 14:29, And the NIV says, the patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly of all. Right? They're evil, in a sense. And I kind of like how the New Living Translation translates this verse when it says, people with understanding control their anger, but a hot-tempered shows great foolishness. That hot-temperedness, that spurring on to anger because they're prompted in some way to just explode in anger, explode in out of controlness because they're not having that wisdom that God gives them. Because we're supposed to have to avoid strife, to avoid quarrels, but a fool does not. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel, quick to fight, quick to be aggressive. That's kind of the characteristics of a fool. Quick to temper, quick to get into a fight. It's very difficult for them to kind of step back. It takes wisdom to know when to say no or to step back and say, oh, I'm not going to quarrel. We'll see that in a minute here. But Proverbs 26:11, again, I'm not sure where I like this verb, but they don't learn from their mistakes. And so they're like a dog, it says, who returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Now, I've never seen that. Has any of you ever seen a dog eat his own vomit? I haven't been around dogs a whole lot. I see some heads nodding. That's what I've heard here, but that's kind of interesting that they're just like fools. They just go back to their sinful ways again and again. They don't learn from their mistakes. They want to keep in their filth. Of course, I know that dogs sniff their own or sniff other dogs' behinds, but a fool is worse than this, it's saying, right? A dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And so fools have a lot of bad qualities in these verses. They do not fear the Lord. They bring grief to their parents because they don't listen to them. They deny that even there is a God, as we see from the book of Psalms. They take pleasure in evil conduct and are quick to be tempered and hot-headed. They're quick to get in fights, and they wink at evil. And I don't think I put that in there. Here's another one, Proverbs 10:10, he who weeps maliciously causes grief. A chattering fool comes to ruin. I'm not sure where I lost that verse then in there, but that all talks about what it means to be a fool in the Bible. That's kind of the description in fools, that they are quick to fight and wink at evil. They do this over and over again. And if this describes you, I hope that you will come to your senses. You'll repent. Realize that God wants you to learn wisdom, just like we talked about a few weeks ago. It's calling you, just like wisdom personified calls you. Come and learn from me. Don't be foolish. Come. Gain understanding. Keep heading down the road of prosperous for God. Because if not, you're going to head down to the road of a fool, and you'll need to turn and repent because you will not like what's at the end of that road. So we saw here some of what renders someone foolish, but what are some of the fruits? What are some of the consequences? What are some of the contrast here of the fruits of the folly? Let's start in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 22. Again, I'm giving you a lot of verses this week. Hopefully you're writing some of these down and can look at them later. Again, they're just piecemeal throughout the books here because that's what Proverbs are, kind of piecemeal. And so I had to group these all together and kind of organize them. But it says in Proverbs 16:22, understanding is a fountain of life for those who had it, but folly brings punishment to fools. Punishment, we see here, that there's a punishment, there's a consequence to being a fool. That's one of the fruits of fool. I kind of like this idea that understanding or wisdom is a fountain of life, right? Because we see this picture in other places in the Bible as well, especially in the New Testament with Jesus, with the woman at the well, talking about how I'm the fountain of life and I'm the living water type of thing. It's good. It brings healing and brings good things in your life continuously. But folly, the lack of discipline, the idea that you're as other translations, not having that wisdom brings punishment, brings a consequence. And the words here, to bring punishment, it's actually that word in Hebrew that talks about being chained or being bound. that fools actually bind you like a chain, like a jackal. And it's actually, this word punishment here is actually the word that also is used for a trap. We talked about traps later, earlier on here, this last couple times, especially in chapter 7, verse 22, which talked about a couple times. Remember, the context of chapter 7 is this adulterous woman trying to tempt this simpleton, this simple youth, to come to bed with her. And it says here in Proverbs 7:22 that all at once he, the simple youth, followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it'll cost him his life. This punishment, this idea that these fools are going to be punished, is kind of like this snare. They're going to fall into their own trap that we've talked about before. They're going to step on their own landmine. It's foolish to do that. So this idea of being fools is connected to this kind of punishment. Trying to find where I'm at in my notes here. Okay, so folly is a snare, it's a trap, it's a lead to ruin and even to death. This is spelled out a little bit more clearly in chapter 10, verse 8, I believe. We've already looked at chapter 10, verse 10, chattering fool comes to a ruin. But a few verses before that, we see this verse used a couple more times. It says in verse 8 of chapter 10, "The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin." Chattering fools come to... I kind of like this... that's the next verse. So this wise man accepts commands, but a chattering fool, someone who chatters on, just comes to ruin. A few verses later in chapter 10, we see this verse. "Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of fool invites ruin." And so again, kind of the characteristics that I haven't pointed out before, but chattering or using your mouth a whole lot, speaking foolishly, is a characteristic of the fool, and that invites ruin. We'll talk about speaking in here in a minute here. But this ruin brings harm in many ways. This verse here, I like how this verse is translated in the Message. Proverbs, "The wise man stores up knowledge, but a mouth of a fool invites ruin." It says this in the Message. It says, "Becoming wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces." If you hang out with fools, your life is going to fall to pieces. And I think that's different. That's a different verse here. Okay, never mind. That's not the same there as 10. I didn't put this in my notes. I should have put it in my slides here. But Proverbs 13:20 says in the NIV, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." And this is where the Message translates that verse in a different way. Becoming wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. I like that. It may even bring punishment, because we see in 18, chapter 6, it says this, "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating," kind of a fight. "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Again, that idea of the snare brings in here too. Again, looking at different translations, this verse has a very good one from the New Living Translation. It says, "Fools' words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. Their mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips." And so we see a lot of ruin, a lot of falls, a lot of beatings, even some punishments because of the foolishness of their speech and what they're talking about. Proverbs 14:13 simply says this, "A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of wise protects him." And whenever I think of the word rod, I think of other things in this book as well. Where did I put that one here? Oh, I missed that verse in my notes as well, in my slides as well. Proverbs 26:3, and write that down. Similarly says about this rod, says, "A whip for the horse, a halter for the donkey, and a rod for the back of a fool." So you had that picture of a horse having that a whip to them to kind of correct them, a donkey having that halter in their mouth, as well as a rod. Compares all three of them to fools. So this word rod, again, like I said, brings a picture of this idea of disciplining our children, right? We see in Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Right? This idea of sparing the rod, we'll talk about it in a minute here. But it says in Proverbs 22:5 that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. And this is getting into that third question about how we can avoid folly by correcting our children. But there's a consequence. These are consequences like discipline and having that rod put on you that leads us back to God. If you do not heed it, it'll lead to death. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of righteous nourish many, but fools die for the lack of judgment. So I would urge you, don't be as a fool. Don't be foolish in your life. Avoid even being around the foolish because they might bring you down to ruin with them. You might be trapped in that same net. You might step on that same landmine. You might be beaten with a rod of correction just as the whip is used to discipline misbehaving horses. So avoid this foolishness. Learn about wisdom, as we'll see in a minute. And even that nothing is good is gained from foolishness in the long run. You might think you might be gaining something by being foolish in the short term, but in the long run, it's going to lead, as this verse says, to death. That fools die for the lack of judgment. So what are some ways, in the third question here, that we can avoid being in this folly? Avoid being foolish, right? Proverbs is very clear about what defines foolishness and about the consequences, the fruits of this foolishness, but what about avoiding it in the first place? Because folly does inherit many dangers, okay? This is one of my favorite proverbs. I have lots of proverbs, but this is one of them that I love to quote or love to think about. It's from Proverbs 17, verse 12. It says, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. Think about a bear and having her cub taken away, how fierce and how angry a bear would be. And yet it's better for that than to be in the company of a fool, right? Just avoid them, because folly has inherent dangers. You need to realize that there's a danger in front of you, and that's one way of preventing yourself from falling into to the path of fools. And following fools. And as I was typing that word, following the fools, in my notes here, I thought, well, folly and fool follow have the same first four letters. And so I thought, well, I wonder, is there a connection? And you think following and folly are a little bit different. But actually, I found that the Hebrew word for follow, to follow, in Latin is sec, S-E-Q, as in used in the word consequences, with following results. Right? That's how you define consequences. If you follow, these are consequences. These are the results that's going to happen by following. So when you follow fools, there are going to be consequences. So there is kind of a connection between following and folly. It's folly to follow fools. Say that 10 times fast. Folly to follow fools. But Proverbs has several ways to avoid folly. We see this in chapter 12. And a couple of different verses here. Chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his arrogance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Prudent man lets insults pass him by. Don't get hot-tempered like a fool does. And so one way to avoid being foolish, having this folly in your life, is to be patient, be prudent. Overlooking insults. Don't be hot-headed when someone insults you or someone treats you bad. That's foolish many times. Fools rush into arguments and to quarrels. And as far as listening to our parents and their advice, we saw in the previous point, Proverbs 15:5 says this, that a fool spurns his father's discipline, but he who heeds correction shows prudence. Yes. Again, this is why sons are disappointment to their fathers for fools, because they don't heed their discipline. But he who heeds correction shows prudence, shows a good thing. I like this idea, again, of prudence. Because, I lost my place again. Speaking of prudence, heeding that correction, we see this in the next verse here that I got up on the screen, Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his own folly, right? That's kind of a prudent man kind of acts out of knowledge. Again, another translation of the same verse says, wise people think before they act. Fools don't. They even brag about their own foolishness, right? You know, people think, uses words, or thinks before they use words. How many times have you heard the phrase, think before you speak, or think before you act, right? Actually, I found this, I saw this poster here at different schools and whatnot, but it's before you speak, think, and it's the acronym THINK. And so you need to ask yourself before you speak or say something, is it true, T? Is it H, helpful? Is it I, inspiring? N, necessary? And K, is it kind? And that would solve a lot of our problems, a lot of our foolishness, if we would do this. Because a fool just spouts out words, whether they're wise, whether they're true, whether they're helpful, inspiring or not. That's what makes them a fool. But if you speak wise words, if you think before you speak, if you speak, think this. Is it true, helpful, inspiring? And I have to tell our kids this all the time. You know, yes, you just said that, but is that kind? Is that something that you really need to say? Is that something that would really help them, build them up, or is that tearing them down? Is that something that's going to be helpful to them? Something that's actually true? Are you actually speaking truth? So all these things are something we can help to stop being a fool. Just think. Stop and think. Don't just speak the things that are in our mind. Ask ourselves, do we really need to say it? It's like that verse from Proverbs 4:8 that says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. If you think about the praiseworthy, the noble, the wonderful things, then you're not going to speak foolish things. Your mouth is not going to be full of just foolishness. But there's a proverb that has this idea as well that actually is not in Proverbs. It's one of my favorite proverbs that I like that's not actually in the book of Proverbs. It's actually kind of an insult. It's in the book of Job. Now, Job is speaking to his friends. His friends had come to comfort him, and he calls them essentially fools because he says this, if you would be altogether silent, for you, that would be wisdom. I kind of like that. It's kind of saying, hey, shut up because you're talking like a fool. You know, you're talking nonsense. So be quiet and you'll be smart. That'll be wisdom for you. You're just spewing out bad things. And of course, from this verse, we get that famous quote from Abraham Lincoln that I love. It's better to remain silent and be thought of a fool than to speak it out and remove all doubt. All right? I like that quote there, kind of taken away from this passage in Job. If you're talking, people are not going to know you're going to fool. But if you remain quiet, people might think, even if you're a fool, that you're actually smart. Okay? Here's what it actually says in Proverbs. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and a discerning if he holds his tongue. So I think sometimes, in order for us to not be fools, we need to just clamp these ourselves shut and not talk, right? And even if we are a fool, then people still think we're wise because we're that kind of thing. But here are a couple more. Here are a couple more proverbs about different consequences or fruits of being a fool. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. The rod of discipline. And I want to emphasize, again, we talk about the rod, and sparing the rod and spoiling the child type of idea that we'll talk about, I think, in a minute here. I think that's in my next. Anyways, this is proper discipline, not abuse. I mean, there's a difference between disciplining your child and spanking them and abusing them, hitting them, or causing damage to both their body and their mind. But so I want to emphasize, especially in Proverbs, It's the proper discipline, trying to get this idea of correcting this fool and to learn their ways. The discipline that causes significant injury and abuse should never be condoned. Abuse is not discipline and it is wrong. But matching up the punishment with the crime, that's where Proverbs is all. That you don't need to overpunish. And I know that I've been guilty many times in my own family of overpunishing to the point of almost abuse. And I had to confess and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have punished you in that way because I did it out of anger, not out of love and out of correction. And so it is a danger. But proper discipline leads to good ends and keeps us from folly taking root. And of course, finally, one way to correct folly, being folly, is to, again, just be quiet. Proverbs 26, verses 5 and 6. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. And those things that, hey, don't try to keep arguing with a fool. They're just going to keep on arguing. Just let it be. Say your piece, answer him, but not according to his folly, right? Don't argue with him or it leads to frustration on your part, and that'll lead to anger, and that might lead to quick-temperedness, and that would lead to foolishness. So there are many proverbs about fools, especially in chapter 26. If you read chapter 26, list after list, fool, 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 fool. And so I didn't have time this morning. I'm running short on time already. But these are kind of the questions that we answered this morning, right? These qualities of a fool is one that gives a bad advice, kind of like Nabal, the fool in the scriptures. They follow after evil, Baal, the evil form of folly. They don't fear the Lord. They bring shame to their parents. They don't listen to their parents. That's what renders one foolish. And the fruits of those foolishness means they might be corrected. They might have consequences. They might have a punishment. They might be hit with rods, even by loving parents or by other people because of their foolishness. The consequence leads to traps and binding and shackles, kind of like a trap for animals. And those binds will eventually lead it to death. And then finally, one way to avoid it is to heed discipline, to listen to what your parents say, listen to what the wisdom that the world around us gives, wisdom that the Bible gives. Don't be foolish enough to argue or to use a lot of words with fools because they just will argue back. That's what fools are. So if you want to avoid folly, don't argue with a fool. I hope we've learned a lot this morning that we are not the kind of people that act like fools. Again, April fools are fine, but being foolish like the Bible is kind of the sin that prevents us from knowing God.